This is Fresh Air. In 1986, Stryker McGuire was doing well as a senior editor at Newsweek. His office even had a couch when he decided to get out from behind his desk and travel. He had worked for Newsweek as a reporter in Latin America in the late 70s before he became an editor at the home office. But 3 years of editing foreign correspondents had left him restless. Now it was time to go back to Latin America, but this time as a tourist. He recalls his 20,000-mile journey driving from North America to the end of South America in his new book, Streets with No Names. I asked him when and why he first went to Central America.
The first time was in 1978, and I went to Nicaragua. I was working in Los Angeles at the time for Newsweek, and we didn't have a Mexico City bureau at that time. The only bureau we had in Latin America, in fact, was all the way down in Buenos Aires, which, needless to say, is a long, long way away from Central America. And Central America really hadn't been on people's minds here in the United States anyway, when this group of rebels called the Sandinistas took over the National Palace in Managua, Nicaragua. And I was in Los Angeles. I spoke Spanish, and they sent me.
Did that make you somehow an expert then?
as close as these things go, you know, sometimes, in fact, it is language and the, you know, conviction by somebody that you can actually report is enough to get you sent to a place which really hasn't really been on anybody's radar screen.
How soon before you felt you could write with some degree of authority about what was going on in Nicaragua?
With authority?
Yes.
6 months.
And how soon after you got there did you have to start writing about Nicaragua?
2 days. So you can imagine there's obviously a great gap between the two. You can write without making errors. You can write without making bad judgments. You can write without really fouling up in a very short period of time. But with authority, to me, conveys something altogether different.
Did you feel like a faker?
No.
Why not?
Because I did know something about the country, and before I went down there, I read even more. The other thing is that in the business that I'm in, and especially the business that I was in 1978, that is to say, the kind of journalism I was doing, was really, you know, it's not in-depth journalism. What we were doing back then is basically reviewing for people the events of the previous week. And in order to do that with an event like a hostage-holding siege, you don't, frankly, have to be an expert on Nicaraguan history. You have to know something, but you don't have to be an expert.
Did you find yourself fighting to keep some sense of either distance or objectivity when you were covering a war in Nicaragua? Is there something about a war that makes journalists have to, hold off a little bit about their emotions?
Well, there is, especially a war like the Civil War in Nicaragua. I mean, it was plain to most of us who were there that the previous 50 years of Nicaraguan history, which had basically been sponsored by the United States and had been, the rulers were three Somozas over stretching over two different generations. There was no doubt about the public desire, the public enthusiasm for their departure, and in a war like the one in Nicaragua, we had very, very few restrictions. Frankly, they tried to impose some, but mostly to ludicrous effect. Really, we could go back and forth between the two sides, so it wasn't that reporters were confined, for example, to be with, say, Somoza's, Anastasio Somoza's National Guard troops. In a situation like that, I think even if you disagree with the hierarchy of a country, if you were to spend a lot of time with the soldiers, I think, and I mean weeks and weeks or months and months, I think you would begin to identify with them. But those of us who were down there were crossing back and forth on a daily basis, crossing the lines, going back and forth, talking to the people, talking to the guerrillas, talking to Somoza's troops. And this, in a way, gave us a certain amount of objectivity because we were talking to all sides. But at the same time, we, for the most part, wanted the Sandinistas to succeed.
I'm speaking today on Fresh Air with Stryker McGuire. He covered the Nicaraguan Revolution for Newsweek magazine. He also served as Latin American regional editor and Mexico City bureau chief for Newsweek. He's currently chief of correspondence. He went back to Central and South America, not as a journalist, but as a traveler, and drove 20,000 miles around Central and South America and has written a book about what he found there. The book is called Streets with No Names. We'll take a short break. This is Fresh Air. Journalist Stryker McGuire is my guest today on Fresh Air. His book is called Streets with No Names. When did you leave Nicaragua?
I left I've been there many times, but in that, if we're talking about my coverage of the Civil War, I left about 2 days after the Sandinistas took over, which would be that date is July 19th, 1979, and I left about 2 days later.
Why did you want to go back, and to go back kind of without itinerary, without your badge of journalism, and go back to this part of the world that you had covered as a journalist?
I wanted mainly to approach it differently. I wanted to be able to not do the kinds of things I was talking about earlier. That is to say, not have to report the day-to-day events. That takes a lot of time. It also distracts you from a lot of other things that are going on in the country. I wanted to go back basically as somebody who was passing through. I wanted to spend more time there, even though I had been in Nicaragua a long period of time. I wanted to see it differently, and you do see it differently when you're not writing everything down when you're talking to people.
As you traveled through Central and South America, how much evidence of anti-Americanism did you see? For instance, the Yankee go home signs.
I think anybody who travels through that part of the world would immediately be struck by the lack of it, frankly. It's always surprised me to find how little anti-Americanism there is that's directed at you and me and other people who are traveling through there. There's a lot of anti-Americanism in some of these countries that is directed at our government and our past governments, but toward individuals, it does happen. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It does happen and you hear it, but it is not as strong as you would expect it from countries who have tremendous historical complaints against the United States. But not amazingly, I guess, because it's understandable, the people in these countries recognize that just as they should not be judged by their governments, which for the most part have not been great governments and have sometimes been awful governments, just as they should not be judged by their governments, the American people shouldn't necessarily be judged by its government.
That's an interesting distinction because our government supposedly represents us because we get to elect them.
That's right. That's right. I mean, I think if they thought it through fully, they should blame us. I mean, if they, for example, blame Ronald Reagan for the Contra War in Nicaragua, in the 1980s, well, then they should also recognize that Ronald Reagan was elected twice by the American people, and it was not a fluke.
But they don't see that necessarily.
No, they really, you don't, you do get it, you get it occasionally, but especially if you're a person who is clearly not necessarily sympathetic, but willing to listen, if you're making an effort to talk to people in their language or in your own language, if you seem friendly, they will treat you it likewise.
Why was it painful for you to go back to Nicaragua, and you write about it?
Well, because it was such a wreck economically. Nothing worked. There was no money. The people were destitute, and it was just appalling to have seen what happened to that country. And part of it is the country itself has had an awful run of bad luck, beginning with an earthquake in the early 70s, and then the Civil War in 78, 79, and then the Contra War during most of the 1980s. It just, that kind of conflict over that period of time really takes its toll.
Let's talk a little bit about the contrast between Nicaragua and Costa Rica. And you describe a kind of dullness of Costa Rica in contrast to its neighbors, Connecticut with volcanoes. I don't know how Connecticut or even Costa Rica would feel about that.
Well, I must say I was talking about Connecticut before it was having all its horrible economic problems. So maybe now the Costa Ricans would not agree with that comparison. Costa Rica is this lucky country, and it's obviously it's not just luck. It's a lot more than that. But it has enjoyed democracy in a region that hasn't known much democracy. It's had it now for all of this century. It abolished its military after World War II, and doesn't even have a standing army at this point. It devotes a tremendous amount of its resources to education, even cultural events, the symphony and the ballet, and it's just not what we think of when we, in our kind of stereotypical way, think of a banana republic, and it was a banana republic, but it's a democracy.
Why do you think there's so little press coverage? I mean, relative certainly to Europe, of Central and South America, kind of ongoing stories about what's happening.
Yeah, that will change someday. I mean, it has to, given the demographics of the United States, but. It's something that it's been that way certainly as long as I can remember. I've fought that battle with some success, but for the most part, things haven't really changed that much. Why? I guess mainly it's because of what the people in the United States care about. And when you're talking about the people who actually sort of set matters of taste and style and journalism in the United States, you are, for better or for worse, talking mostly about people on the East Coast, and therefore the tremendous Hispanic influence in the southwestern United States is simply not really felt very much in our media. It's certainly felt more than it used to be, but not as much as it should be. When that changes, we will pay increasing attention to Latin America.
Thank you very much for joining us today on Fresh Air.
Oh, you're welcome.
Stryker McGuire is chief of correspondence at Newsweek and the author of a travel memoir called Streets with No Names. This is Fresh Air.